This is Corey Gray and Tony Stewart from Hairdistry. Thank you for tuning in to the Hairdressers Podcast. Now here's a word from our sponsors.
I'm Elizabeth Fay, and I am a huge Schedulesty fan, enthusiast, promoter. So what Schedulesty can really do for your business and what it can do for your life is so amazing. So it's a modern tool that's going to help you systemize all the procedures in your business. And they're probably, some of them are ones you didn't even know you have or you should have. It's going to systemize them. It's going to make everything streamline and do it for you while you sleep. And this is the way that you can make more money and have more quality of life. So everything from upping your rebooking rates to taking deposits, helping you enforce your no-show and cancellation policies, all the way to your email marketing, and even the way you get tipped and process payments. It's like having a front desk, an assistant, and a virtual assistant all in one in your pocket for such an affordable price. So if you haven't already gotten...
Please do me you.
Hey, welcome to your day off. My name is Corey, and of course I'm sitting with my best friend, Tone, although I might be trading him in today.
Yeah, I have a feeling that that's going to happen.
That's awesome.
What's up, brother?
What's up, man? So, dude, I'm super excited about I want to talk about the video that we just released. We're really, really mega excited about it. And, you know, just so you guys know, again, it's for everyone to use. You know, we don't own any IP for the video. We want people to share the video. We want people to talk about their experiences. We want people to talk about their experience with their clients and that jazz.
Yeah, definitely join the conversation. You know what I mean? We want to hear not only your story with your clients. We want to hear your thoughts, your love for the industry. It's just, you know what I mean? The video is for everybody to partake and be a part of it.
That's absolutely correct. And if you'd like to share that with us, you know, the hashtags that we're using is, hashtag fall in love with the hair industry or hashtag I am Hairdistry. Because, you know, Hairdistry isn't Tony and I. Hairdistry is just the movement of this positive of community that we're trying to create. Not trying to create that we want to create.
Yeah, you're right. We all are Hairdistry. We all are part of this wonderful community.
Yeah, there's no doubt.
And we want to keep it that way.
We definitely want to keep it that way. Hey, so again, if you like the video, please share it. Again, we don't own any IP on it. We want you to share it. We want you to share it with your clients. We want you to share it with your other hairdressers. If you want to use it on your website, you have full permission. You don't have to ask permission. You can just go do it. If you need to find the video, it's on our Instagram. And we'll have to talk to Jay about. Whoops. What? It's a. It's in our milkshake, which we used to have a link tree there, but now we've put up a milkshake account there, which is like a little website within the Instagram app. So just click the milkshake link, swipe a couple left, a couple swipe rights a couple of times, and then you'll see all of our links.
And you can just go to YouTube.
Or you can just go to YouTube, and you can go to the Hairdistry page on YouTube, and it'll be there too. The name of the video is Fall in Love with the Hair Industry, which is our new motto, and that's what the video is going to be. So, shall we get into today? Actually,
so the conversation that we've had prior to the podcast, I wish we were recording because I was just, this is going to be fun, energized. I love this guy. We're laughing so hard that we're both like, man, this is gonna be awesome.
This is gonna be fun. We actually forgot to push record a little bit because we got so carried away. All right, real talk, real quick. So, our guest today is Jay Ladner. Jay Ladner is filled with energy. He's filled with hope, but most importantly, he's filled with love. And he shares the love, whether it's through a laugh or whether it's through get your stuff together. You know, everything comes from love, and you know that's just so great. For me and for us, I'll have to speak for the us here in a second. Usually I do. So this is no joke. About a year ago, year and a half ago, you know, as like Hairdistry, we're just starting to make our wave or make our move through things. And I clicked on a live with Jay And when Jay saw that we were on the page watching the live, he lost his shit. And I felt like a king in that moment. You know, I felt like, oh my gosh, like Jay knows who we are and he knows what we're up to. Cause I had no idea. I was just, I think it might've been an accident. You know, like when it says, you know, Jay Ladner's live and like you try to swipe it away and you end up like hitting it. And then we're on Jay. And then trust me, when Jay like shouted us out like that, I stayed for quite a while, but it just made me feel good. You know, and that's what Jay is really, really good at.
If anybody who has met them, they know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, it should be a Jay is infectious. You know, yeah. That's the hashtag. Jay is infectious.
Jayism, right? Jayism. If you could be a room of 1,000 people, he makes you feel like you're the only one in that room.
That's 1,000% true. And at ICE, we were in a bathroom together and he definitely made me, we were the only ones in the bathroom. That's a whole nother story. All right. So once again, Jay has his own podcast with our very dear friend, Nina Tullio. It's No Stylist Left Behind. And, you know, he's doing that and he's up to a bunch of other stuff too. And he's going to tell us all about it.
Yeah, let's figure that out. Should we get out? Yeah,
100%. All right, let's do it. So, Mr. Jay Ladner, welcome to your day off.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much. I love your day off podcast, and I love you guys. And I was seriously over here about to cry because you know what is so awesome is that I'm on the other side of the mic, right? And I got to witness what everyone else witnesses and feels when they're being introduced. And it's almost like being in the room, but not really. So like, what would actually be said about you if you weren't in the room, right? So thank you so much. I am a rebel with the beauty cause, and I do like to go there, whether it's get your stuff together or, you know, love yourself a little bit more. I go through all avenues. So thank you for noticing that. And yeah, I'm so happy to be here.
Well, dude, we're stoked to have you.
Yeah. You were talking about ICE. I just remember we talked about this before, like Jay's crossed the room and just, you know what I mean? You can just see him coming and you know, this great hug is about to happen. Yeah. And it's pretty
cool. It was the best hugs. And I remember because I have to read the room sometimes I don't. But y'all are like, okay, like, hi, can you just, we're recording. I'm like, oh, okay. But I'm so excited. But I remember that moment, Corey, when I was live and y'all came on and I felt the same way that you were describing. I was like, how the hell is Hair Street up on my live right now? Like that's why I flipped out. I was like, oh my God. And if no one knows who they are, please go check them out now. Like leave my live, like go to their page. You know what I mean? So I think that the feeling was mutual.
Thank you, dude. I mean, it honestly, it was like, it kind of blew me away. You know, like as you're starting to build anything or as you're a part of anything, like it's those little bits of validation, you know, just those little teeny bits that kind of go, you know what, we're onto something here or this is, right. I need to stay here a little bit longer, you know? And that's that, it was very, very, it was a very, very cool moment for us. So Jay, dude, where are you from?
I am from Tampa, Florida. Tampa, Florida is Sunshine State, full of humidity. So, you know, that skin was snatched. A little moist all the time. And I grew up, I went to middle school and high school in a small town outside of Tampa, Plant City, Florida. Hi, how are you? With your little strawberry fields. What's going on? Can't relate anymore. But
yeah, I spent a lot of time in Tampa. I'm down there once or twice a year. Well, yeah, you know, pre-COVID, you know, we were down there, you know, once or twice a year. My wife is from there, so her entire like family's there. But you know, my wife and I've been together since high school. So her cousins are my cousins, and yada yada. You know,
that's a long time.
And I remember like my family, like my dad moved us out of Tampa, and the whole time growing up, I was like, I need to get back to Tampa because I couldn't relate to anyone in this small town. I was like, cause I'm so different. You know what I mean? But I am glad that I did live there and grow up there because I helped change a lot of point of views. You know what I mean? For being out there. And I've always beat to my own drum. I mean, my dad, I think for the longest time tried to like back me away from that. Mm-hmm. But I always did. And then as the person I am today, you know, I think it did help that small little town.
How did you get into the hair industry? Is this something that you've always wanted to do?
I absolutely did not think ever I was going to be in this industry. So I remember I was 18 working at Busch Gardens. I was a performer and like I would make wigs for, you know, the costumes and like the shows. I would make wigs for more money when I wasn't performing. And I would always do my friend's hair, but I was never really, that wasn't the lane I wanted to do. And I had a blog. I was blogging when it wasn't cool, when we would do it for free for Fashion Week. And all the editors at big magazines were like, shut up to all the bloggers because we were like taking over. And I met my husband and he was like, dude, you're a bartender. Like you're doing that, but you're always doing hair. You have a blog. Like you're always talking about beauty and fashion. Like, why don't you go to school? But the fun fact that Vince, my husband, learned is when I went there with him, because he was like, no, you're going to school. I actually went to Paul Mitchell, the school, Tampa 3 times, but I was so independent and there wasn't that opportunity for night school. So I was like, I had to take care of myself. Right. So then the school elevated and there was night school and all that. So when I met my husband, he was like, you are going to thrive. Like you are beauty and fashion. Like you believe in it. You invest in it. You talk about it. You're always researching it. Just think about it. In 2009, I started at Paul Mitchell School Tampa and it changed my life forever. I think I went to hair school at the right time.
Thank God for your husband, for pushing you, yeah, helping you, you know, take that step. But there feels like there's so much we're missing from, you said when your father was trying to keep you back from, you know, whatever he was trying to keep you back from until you met your husband. There's so much, seems like
a lot of story there, right?
There's a lot of stories. So let's get into it. So at 16, as if anyone knows, I identify as a gay man. I don't know if y'all know, but hi. So growing up, I was always different and I knew that I wasn't supposed to be where I was at. Like I was.
Hold on, JJ. When you said that you were always different, was it because you were gay or were you just different outside of being a gay kid in a small town?
I think it was more than just being gay. Gay was a lot of it because I couldn't relate to anyone around me. You know what I mean? Because I was like, I have these feelings that's just like one piece of it. But I think what also was, I felt like I was supposed to be doing something greater, even at like a younger age. Like I would always invest my time into, you know, I was like, in a Pentecostal church and I was a leader there. You know what I mean? I've always been a leader and I led praise and worship and, you know, I always like put everything that I did, all my energy into it. And I became the best at it. Like or tried to become that. But at 16, something really happened to me, which, you know, I didn't grow up with my mom. She was an addict. Like I don't remember her. I don't remember anything. Maybe she was in my life around 5. I still don't remember that. And then at 16, I got kicked out for being gay. And everything that was important to me got stripped away. And I was abandoned. I already dealt with my mother not being there because she was an addict. But now my father, right, backed all the way out of my life, so far out that I had no one around me. So I was then, you know, had to figure shit out. And I think from that moment, as a 33-year-old man today, I'm glad I was abandoned because now I know how to work through some of the deepest pain there ever is, because you grow up thinking your parents are supposed to be there, right? I look around at all my friends and, you know, they have that perfect life. And I was dealt cards that I think some people would have quit. Some people would have bowed out. And I allowed that strength of me being different already, right? And that back of my mind of that abandonment from my mother, right? And that anger is what got me to keep pushing. And then I turned that abandonment into success because I was like, you know what? It's me. So I have to figure it out. And I went down the path of my mom. You know, like when I was younger in the gay scene, I was doing drugs. Like I was partying. I was going out. I was becoming her because I was running from everything else that was around me. And I will say the moment I met my husband was what saved my life forever. And my dad, he later in life when I was 18, my dad divorced my stepmother and she was a lot of the, you know, root cause of like why I got kicked out and everything. And my dad and I had our like come to Jesus moment. And I, you know, I didn't forgive him then. I have now, but we worked on it and he loves Vince and all that, but they still thank Vince to this day for showing up to that club because the weekend before I was on a binge and I was still uplifted and I was still doing my job. I was still showing up, but I was like hazed, right? Like I was a functioning addict. You know what I mean? Like I was just getting through life. And then when I met Vince, I stopped everything because I became a father when I met Vince.
How quickly did that transition happen? So, you know, one week you're like, you're in the club and you're binging out and, you know, maybe you make it to the next weekend or not. The next weekend you meet Vince. And then, you know, what was that transition from like, you know, finding that purpose or finding that meaning to, I mean, are you clean completely?
Yes.
Okay. So, yeah. So what was that transition like and how long did it take?
It was instant. Mm. It was instantly. Like, I remember I was having a conversation and when I saw Vince in that club, like he just got back from Afghanistan, just a fast forward what I found out, like he was back for a week. And he was there because he was in the military for 22 years and retired. Yay. Grim. But he was just in Afghanistan for a year and I met him. He just got back. And when I laid eyes on him, I literally looked at my friends and I was like, I found my husband. And they were like, you're fucking crazy. And I'm like, no, like I know in my soul, like this is my partner. And so I walked up to Vince because he's so chill and reserved and I knew he would never do it. So I knew he was going to be my husband. So I had to go make the move. And later, you know, like we were sitting at a restaurant. And he later in life, he tells me like he already knew in that moment, he was like, that's my human. Like, cause I was being swung around the dance floor. Like I was wild as ever. So I remember sitting at dinner and I was like, I do coke. Like it just like came out and he was like, absolutely not. This is over. Like if you don't like in that moment, I looked at him and I'm like, don't leave me. Like I will become better. Like he was my human, that angel that was placed in my life. It was no question at all from that moment. I just needed something to look forward to. And he was my person that allowed me to look at my life in a different way, like unlimited possibilities. And now, even though I was doing that, I was still don't stop, get it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like that was my life. But he allowed me to see that there was bigger and greater things, that there was an unconditional love that came from him and he never left. Never left. And he even said that. He's like, if you put in the work, and from that moment, you know, I had drugs in my bag when I was telling him that. You know what I mean? Like, and I just threw them away, flushed them down the toilet and I never went back.
Wow. What a story.
That's like instant. It was that instant, like I'm sober.
Yeah, that's what love can do.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah. I've said this story on the podcast several times, and you know, that I used to be addicted to cigarettes, right? I used to smoke a pack a day, every day. I was so addicted, and it was hard to stop. And people who smoke cigarettes, they know that how hard it is to quit. And then my daughter, she was 5 or 6, and there was a period of time when she would come, you know, she would open up her arms and give me a big hug, and my heart would just melt. But she was sneaky, because as I'm like just falling into this hug, she's digging in my pockets, grabbing my cigarettes and throwing them in the toilet. And so then one day she finally says, "Hey, Dad, does cigarette smoking kill you?" And I'm thinking to myself, if I tell her no, she's going to end up smoking. And so I said, "It does some people." And then she had these really watery blue eyes, and tears started dripping down. And she goes, "Dad, I don't want you to die. Please stop." Oh. And that moment, I never picked up a cigarette again. I knew that love that, you know, and it can make you change. So, you know, by you knowing that he's your human and he's going to be your husband, that how, you know, you're willing to make those sacrifices to be, you know, with him. And
yeah. And you have to realize that I was 21. And I remember when I said I was 21, my husband now rolled his eyes. And I was like, "Well, I'm almost 22. Like, that would make it better." I was like, "Well, I'm almost 22. Like, you should give me a shot." And so when I met him, I became a father. He had a 2- and a 4-year-old. And he was the full-time parent. And I literally went from partying in the club to potty training our now 3-year-old. And I remember, you know, Andrew, who's now 14, he lives full-time with us, and our daughter's 16, Madison. She lives with her mother in South Carolina. But I remember Andrew at 2 turning 3 already looked at me as his father. Like, when he was being potty trained, he wasn't calling for Vince. He was calling for me. And Vince would just laugh. He's like, "Well," you know what I mean? So I was also, you know, turned into a father. And in that moment, I knew I could break the cycle of the trauma that happened to me when I was younger, because there were things that I could now change, that they would never experience, that I was giving this gift from God to heal myself and make sure that they're protected and I break the cycle, because I knew that it would stop here, that the trauma that happened in my life, my kids would never experience, ever. They would understand what love meant.
Beautiful. That's awesome. That's awesome.
You know, that's what you are. You are love.
You are love.
If I had to pick one word, it's love.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm all kinds of things and love's one.
Hey, let's backtrack a little bit, Jay. Like, did Vince have addiction issues in earlier relationships?
Vince?
Yeah.
No.
So it wasn't anything. So he just, it wasn't something that he had experienced and wasn't going to tolerate it again. He just wasn't going to tolerate it.
No. Yeah. And I think a lot of it was because of the military, right? Because he was already so high up in the military. He was a master sergeant in the Air Force. So that's like top 3, right? So you can only get to the chief. And I think it was just instilled into him that could ruin his career. Because when you think about it, you know, don't ask, don't tell was in full play. So I was out of the closet when I met him. There was a whole nother layer. I was back in the closet, you know, like, because I was choosing to be with Vince because he was my life partner. Mm-hmm. And don't ask, don't tell, you know, could have ended his career as well. So there were so many layers to our relationship, you know, that I think made us stronger. But, you know, he is a patient man. He is a patient man. And I give a lot of my success to him because he was always patient, and he allowed me to figure it out. Like, he never left. And And, you know, I realized probably 5 years ago that he never left. Even though I was pushing him away, I finally accepted him truly 5 years ago. Right. You know what I mean? That he was like never going to leave. And I would do things, you know, once an addict, let's get into this. Once an addict, always an addict. Like I work 24/7 because it's in my blood. Like that's my new outlet, right? So I have to remember to like have a moment of just like not work, right? Because, right, I'm obsessed. Sometimes I excessively shop. Right. Like there's these things like once an act, there's you're always an act, so you're always working on it. Just like with anything that you go through life and trauma or things that happen in your childhood, they always pop back up. You're always continuously working on it. But I think what is so magical is having two kids and a husband, you know, allows me to stay on the path. And you know, witnessing like my mother is now in my life. I'm so proud of her. She's clean and she's out of jail. And, you know, she's just the most loving human. And it doesn't matter what she went through, she's still kind. And I think I look, you know, her spirit has always been in me because I've always tried to be kind, even through my darkness. And I think that's why I appreciate the light, because I understand what it's like to be left behind, to go through the darkest streets, right? The darkest of dark. I know what it's like, and I survived. And there's people that are close to me that didn't, you know what I mean? So their life that they couldn't lead anymore, I picked that up and said, we're going to do it, right? So there's things that you can either go down that path, become that statistic, because I feel like I was a statistic. Everything that, like my mother being an addict, being kicked out at 16, there's a lot of people that would give up, and I don't blame them. You know what I mean? For that.
I'm sorry. I was going to ask you, like you said, you know, that you had that relationship with your mom. When you said she's out of jail now, did she reach out to you or did you reach out to her? Or did you, I mean, how did you guys get through? Because there's got to be a lot of pain.
Yes, there. Well, for my mother, there was, trust me, pain. But I'm glad I met her when I did, because I had two options. And my sister, Jessica, shout out. She's like, was my mother. Jessica, love you. Thank you for staying and leading the trauma, honey, because she carried it all. But she was always around my mother because she lived with my grandparents, my nanny, Ruth, and that was my mother's mother, the most compassionate woman ever. And she never gave up on my mom, my grandmother. And my two older sisters, Jessica and Amanda, were always around her, but we lived in separate households. And I remember my sister being like, just give her a chance. And I was like, okay. You know what I mean? Like, I always heard about a mother's hug. There's nothing like it, that it's like the most loving thing ever. And I would hug my friends' moms and I wouldn't feel it. So I had two options here. I could take my pain and my trauma and put my mother on a pedestal of this, you're supposed to be superwoman, mom, or I can walk in the door and accept her pain and put my pain on the back burner. So that moment when I walked through the door, I just wanted to hug my mom. I wanted to see if it was true. And guys, it was the most comforting hug I have ever experienced in my life. The most warm, like she was never away from me. Like there was no doubt that she was my mother. Like no doubt at all that she still loved me. And her pain was greater than taking care of me. It was a good thing she wasn't in my life. You know what I mean? Because I think she would have caused even more, you know, trauma that I would have had to work through. So I accepted her as a fellow human, that I know pain, she knows pain, and I'm going to embrace her with all of my soul to let her know that one day there's a possibility that we will be together.
That's the most empathetic story I've ever heard in my life. Like you talk about, like, one, such an evolved kind of human to be able to say, you know, this person that hurt me so much, I'm going to put that aside for just a second.
Yeah.
And I'm going to understand. It's like, you know, chicken noodle for your mom or something, you know, it's chicken soup, right? Like chicken soup for your mom. And to be able to say, this person that hurt me so much, and to kind of push those feelings aside and just accept her for her own faults, for her own pain. I mean, that's just beautiful, man. I think that, you know, I think there that 1% or less than 1% of the world could do that. And I'm honored to know you and to know that you're that kind of person. That is one beautiful, beautiful exchange.
Yeah. And I'm so proud of my mother. Like I you know, she went back through it. You know what I mean? Whenever I was 18 and I met her, and, you know, I think that at one point I did back away from her, because now moving forward, I'm a father, like I'm a husband, I'm in my career, I'm building credibility, like, and I just didn't want it to throw me off. So I kind of did at one point, like, shut her out. Like, I was like, I can't do this. Like, you will not be around my kids, and I can't have you know, like, I had to put that barrier up to say, like, I'm on to something good. So I can't allow your energy to come in. And then that was like for probably like a year. And then I was like, hey, mom, like, she was back. So every time she would come back, I just wanted her to know I was ready at any moment. I was ready to accept her, to bring her into my life, but there were rules of engagement, right, that did have to align with all of that. So shout out to my mother.
Shout out.
You're a bad bitch. Love you. Sorry, I don't know if I can cuss on here, but.
No, you just did.
Yeah. Sorry. Okay. At some point, it's more than just you, right? It is. It's you. It's your husband and your kids. So,
and this is something that I want everyone right now listening to understand, is that we're all trying to navigate through this crazy thing called life. And I understand that pain, right? When you understand pain, your pain, the pain that you feel within yourself, it could be through the worst things that you've ever experienced. All three of us don't understand what you went through, but we can all relate to pain. And when you look at someone as a fellow human, regardless of anything they identify as, and you just say, I understand that one thing we can connect on is pain, and I'm going to now listen and hear you out. And I think that we all need to take a second to focus on what we can relate on, and that is pain.
Dude, brother, I mean, you're speaking my language. And if we all can do that as a society, right? Instead of, you know, it's my pain, it's me, you know, F you, and I don't want to hear your story, I got my own story, and you know what I mean? And only self-consume, you know, and you black everything else out, and you just get mad at everybody else. That it feels like that's the kind of society that we're living in, right? And if we all kind of approach it like you did, Jay, and people heard my story about my dad, if we can take that attitude and put others before yourself, and being able to throw that kind of love out, man, can you imagine that kind of world?
I think we're getting there.
Yeah.
Through this conversation, mm-hmm. each conversation that we have. So thank you so much for letting me go there. But through every conversation, I just want everyone listening and tuning in to have a conversation, to really get to know the person next to you, the people in your salon, the guests that are sitting in your chair. We can all connect on the level of pain. And if we start having more conversations of integrity and, you know, equality and passion and love and kindness, it will spread. And we're not trying to change the world. We're trying to change our world. So you have impact in your world, and then the world will change. So if we just break it off, like if we just break it up into our circle of influence, I think that, you know, it will trickle like those little waves, right? It starts as a raindrop and then it becomes a tsunami. So it's like, just spread it.
Right. If we're all 6 degrees of separation, it's not going to take that much to change the world, right? I mean, it's only.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm with you, bro.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Dude, it's like, I remember Daniel Mason Jones came on the podcast and he had a short but powerful quote, and that was, hurt people hurt people. Right. So, yeah. So if we can create some kind of barrier between the two hurt people, then, you know, that's where the change is. Right. And, yeah. But the first thing that you've done very successful that I think a lot of people struggle with, I mean, frankly, all of us struggle with, it's just sometimes yes. We get it right. Right. And that's yeah. that's you first have to identify that you're a hurt people. Right. Like yeah. You have to take responsibility, like, oh, I'm hurting. So, you know, in this moment, in this whatever, I need to nip it in the bud, so to speak. You know, I'm hurting yeah, right now, or you know, the way that I react to a situation is because I'm hurt, or the way that yeah. I react to a situation is because I'm hurting. So, you know, to be self-aware.
And I love what you just said, because also what you find out through that trauma, because this is I'm speaking from reality, is that it never leaves you. And it almost becomes like, say in a situation, right? Like you surround yourself with certain people, right? That are relatable to what you're used to, your home, right? And it gets so frustrating because it's a reality that keeps on living. Mm-hmm. So you kind of almost have to get to the point of being tired of it being a reality that you're used to. And you can break the cycle and you can set rules of engagement up for yourself. You know what I mean? Like my transition to LA was really rough. Like I, and everyone thought, you know, oh, Jay Ladner, like a voice in the industry, like he's got it made, like, da, da, da. No, like there were things that were placed back onto me to say, is it enough? Are you tired? Are you tired of going into the same situation over and over and over again, expecting different results, insanity, you know what I mean? So there's things that will never leave you, and you surround yourself for magical people like you both, like Nina Tullio, one of my bestest friends and most compassionate women I've ever met. And you find those people that will never leave, that hold you accountable, that will have uncomfortable conversations, right? And you embrace that and you accept it. So it's never going to leave you, right? But you can respond to it differently when you're fed up and done.
Mm, right. That's true. So you brought it
guys,
up.
Guys, this is so deep.
Right. Like, yeah.
I live for it because I shared a lot of stuff I've never shared before. And I'm just so thankful that I feel safe in this environment. So thank you for creating a safe space.
Oh, this is definitely, you always have a place in this home, brother.
Yes.
So is your husband from Tampa?
So he grew up military. So he grew up all over the place. His father was in the military. He just happened to be stationed in Tampa when we met.
That's what I was going to ask. So here he is. He talked you into, you know, pursuing this industry going. Yeah. So, you've taken off like a rocket, right? So you get out of school, you guys are in Tampa, he's stationed in Tampa. I mean, tell us the journey. How the heck did you get to LA?
All right. So, a lot of saying yes to opportunities and only expecting knowledge. So I actually am writing a new book, and it's all about adapt and evolve and how I got from where I am now in a, going on 11 years in this industry, you know, as like the digital creative director of a huge brand like Oligo Professional, that normally happens to someone 20 years in, right? So let's back it on up. So at school, I already was like, don't stop, get it. Like I already, cause I knew from 16 that I had a hustle, that ain't no one else doing it but me. So I did start school with a little attitude, and I had an amazing mentor, Alan Kemp, who like dropped me all the way back down to reality. Shout out to Alan. He's one of my biggest mentors in life. Hi, love you. Tampa, Florida. What's good? So he, you know, I went in like, and started fucking it all up. Like I just went in and was like saying yes to every opportunity. So in school, I would skip school and I would go on photo shoots and 12 hour sets, 16 hour sets. I faked it. I was like, I'm a hairstylist. Like you should book me. Like I should be a part of your production team. Right. So I became that. Before I graduated, I was published. Like I would skip school. My learning leaders knew, and I was only expecting knowledge. That's it. Right. So then I get out of school and I have a, I'm now blogging even more. Right. And it was called Truth About Hair. It was like Truth About Hair. And I would just talk about everything. So hair wasn't like my main focus. So then I wanted to go to New York City, and I was like, okay, I already know photo shoots. I've worked with Target for a huge summer campaign. Like what the, right? I'm like, what's happening? Like, I'm just showing up and putting in the hours and building credibility. So then I go to New York because I'm writing a blog about a London designer, Izzy Handbags. Hi, Anne. Love you. Mm-hmm. She's one of my really good friends. I wrote a blog about her, and she was going to New York City for Fashion Week, and she read it because I tagged her on Twitter. And I was like, you need to read this. And I wrote about the emotional side of her designs. And I ended up working Fashion Week for 7 seasons. And I started by going, so I would write, and I wrote for the Accessories Council, which if anyone looks that up, is kind of a big deal. I didn't know at the time what I was getting myself into. I was sitting in the room with the president of Karen of the Accessory Council, and she's like, what do you want from me? And I'm like, I have to have an answer. Like that was the first moment where I was like, I have to an answer of what I want to do. I can't just go into the room because they're going to ask me, what do you want? And you have to have an answer. So I work Fashion Week. I, you know, signed up with this production company, Adams Group, and I took out the trash with passion and purpose, took it out. Every season I took it out, set up chairs, all of that. And then all of a sudden I became the manager because I was inside the room and I was doing everything that no one else wanted to do while still being a hairstylist, right? So then I moved to North Dakota. So I'm in Tampa, and then we get stationed in North Dakota. Now I have, you know, Alan, he gave me the opportunity to understand what it's like to own a salon. He handed the keys. I was a year in. I was like, what is this man doing? Like, I don't know what I'm doing, but he wanted a new school point of view inside of his business. He had it for over 20 years, right? So thankful for that.
So Alan, this is Alan in Tampa?
Yeah, in Tampa.
Okay, so you're running a salon in Tampa.
Yes. So I was at his salon, and he was showing me the ropes. Like he held me accountable for every action I made. And I mean, there were some stressful times in that back room, but I just stood there and I took it because I knew that he had the credibility I wanted. Mm-hmm. So a closed mouth never gets fed. So I always ask some questions, and I was putting myself in rooms where people were doing what I wanted to do. And I was silent and I worked. And I never told anyone I worked. I worked. It paid off. They noticed I worked. That's the secret formula. You have to say yes to opportunities, right? Get inside the room and do what no one else wants to do, is take out that trash looking fierce and saying yes. right? So then I go into managing salons in North Dakota, right? So then we're there for 2 years. I take the bottom salon. We were ranked last in Styleaks. There were like salons on bases. And we went to top five in the first 6 months.
Wow.
And that was from knowledge I got from Alan. And I, you know, was there, did that thing. And then at 24, 25, we moved to North Dakota or to Dayton, Ohio. And so I already have experience of being a stylist. I'm already going to New York. I'm writing as a blogger and a writer, and I'm working for a production company. I'm already doing photo shoots. I've been booked to a Target, right? So all I'm building my credibility. And we get to Dayton, Ohio, and I said, I'm opening a salon. Had no clue what I was going to do. Had no clue. Managing is one thing. Owning is another, right? But I knew I had passion, and I knew that I would show up and work.
Yeah.
So through my credibility, right? And that was the next step, right? So I opened the salon after 6 weeks of living there, and I took over.
So
Midwest.
So you did you buy a salon, or did you?
Oh, I opened it from scratch.
So here you are in Dayton, no friends. No client. You don't know one hairdresser in town.
No.
And then you're like, I'm going to open a salon.
Yeah.
All right. We got to unpack this. Hold on. All right. So first obvious, well, you know, let's assume you open it. Let's assume that, you know, you turn the key. How did you market yourself? How did you promote yourself? First one, just to find stylist. And to find not just stylist, but to find the right stylist, or was that a learning curve?
Oh, it was, I failed big time as an owner, like big time. There's still people out there, please forgive me. Like they, you know what I mean? Like I was so young, but I did give it all I got. And we were very well known in this city. Like I started from nothing. So what I did was I leaned into being a military spouse. And if you're a military spouse and you're listening to this, you know, we will give everything we've got to make sure us as a community will be successful. So, and Don't Ask, Don't Tell ended, and Vince and I were like married. So like, there was already this like fame in the Air Force of wherever we lived. Like we were the most talked about couple at that base because it was new and exciting. And they were like, oh, like.
Was it all positive conversation? I'm going to take his way out.
Okay. So all positive because Vince was a chief master sergeant and you don't come for a chief master sergeant. So, hi, you ain't coming for us. You did it inside your house when no one could hear you. So I was like, thank you for my man's credibility. I ain't going to be talked to crazy because I'm his spouse. And that was like, you know what I mean?
I could have a whole conversation but it was exciting, about being a military
spouse. Right. Yeah. So I reached out to the base, and then it was like this whole like almost they just wanted to be in the room because in the military it takes a lot of work to get to a chief master sergeant, and you don't do it alone. You do it through the support of your family and your kids. And you know, like we sacrificed a lot. Vince sacrificed way more than I could even imagine. You know what I mean?
You brought the kids back up. I mean, how do they handle moving like that?
It was just, you do it. You know what I mean? And then it becomes reality that you're just going to move. And you move into these locations and you're like, okay, we have 2 years here, right? So that's one thing I was able to do, Corey. Listen, I already moved. I knew how to build.
Right.
And that was hitting the streets and talking to everyone I could. Right. Cause this was Instagram, Facebook, like it was not popping. Right. So I would just hit the streets. I would go on TV shows. Like I knew the PR side because I worked Fashion Week. I worked, you know, on photo shoots, campaigns. I've been around it. Right. Like I knew from blogging, like how to get my name out there was hitting the streets, you know, letting other businesses know that I'm here for them. And I started in a 700 square foot space. I could afford it with doing four guests a month by myself. And it was just me.
Four guests a month? Not four guests a month.
Yeah. It was so cheap.
Wow.
Wow.
I mean, we're talking about Dayton, Ohio. Like, we're not talking about LA.
Hold on. We're missing a big part here, because even if it's Dayton, Ohio, and you're saying that the rents are cheap, but that also means that the cost is expected to be cheaper as well, because it just, you know, it just comes down to basic economics. So, you know, I mean, so how are you charging enough four times a month to pay for your space?
So my monthly rent was $525 for a 700 square foot space.
Wow.
I was already back then, I was averaging probably $200 a guest, right? Like that, like cut, color, style, all of that. Like in Nina Kovner, Passion Squared, she was my coach, you know, like she's been a part of my journey as well. And I've had mentors. So my success is because I asked for help. A closed mouth never gets fed. I say it all the time. I put myself around people who were successful and who knew the answers. And if they didn't know, they would find out, right? So I've had mentorship. And that's why I got to where I am. I didn't do it alone. I had people in my circle to say, like, okay, this is the way you need to navigate. Did I listen sometimes? No, because I'm a rebel with a beauty cause. You know what I mean? Like, I don't listen sometimes because in my intuition, it says do something else, right? That helped me navigate 16 to 21 till I met Vince, right? So that intuition. So my rent was super cheap and I knew, okay, I would do four guests a month. Like my bills are paid and that's all I wanted to do. And then I slowly hired, right? Like I slowly hired and my guests were my investors. That's what I like to call them. Hi. Because they do invest in our business and they do allow us to grow and they do allow us to get education. They are the reason why we are successful as our guests. They don't have to go to you. You should embrace them more than just a client, as a guest and as an investor of your business. So that's a whole nother podcast.
Yes, it is.
They were a part of my growth. Like I opened and I didn't even have my salon chairs yet. And I had people walking through the door. And I was downtown Dayton. And I knew from talking to the city that it was going to be the most money spent in the city for its rebirth. So I knew what I was signing up for. I knew that eventually my rent would raise because there was going to be a lot of investors going into downtown to make it livable, to make it fun, make it exciting. There was an energy there. So I placed myself strategically in downtown when no one else wanted to be there, right? There was only two salons and the salon that was there was open for 10 years. Right. And all of a sudden, they were showing up at my 700 square foot space door.
You mean the other hairdresser?
Hi. The other salon owners. They're like, who are you? Are you opening a spa? And I was like, no. And a year later, I had a team of five. And I expanded three doors down to the flagship space, over 3,000 square feet. And open a salon and spa a year later.
Wow.
We were booming. We were busting out of the scenes because we were different. We gave a different point of view to that. I was hitting the streets. I was on TV. I mean, my first 6 months, I was like nominated as like the top hairstylist in Dayton. And I'm like, I didn't even know people knew like what I was doing. Even though I was doing the work,
right.
I forgot that people were noticing, right? So then we built that and I had it for 7 years and then I sold it. Through that journey, I made a lot of mistakes and a lot of success. So a lot of mistakes, a lot of success. And I now am blown up on Instagram and I'm educating around the US and I have brand deals going on and all of that. And I knew that it was time for me to exit being a salon owner. Like it was no longer for me.
So at this point, Vince is out of the military and stuff.
Yes.
So he had retired out of the military, out of Dayton, and then it was time to go to LA.
All right. So now I'm, you know, we're in Dayton and I'm like, you know what? Vince is retired for 2 years. I'm like, we're going to sell the house and we're going to sell the salon and we're moving to Los Angeles because that's where I'm at in my brand, right? I've now went through building credibility in the industry from, you know, working for other brands as an educator to now becoming Jay Ladner Education, being a social media influencer to owning a salon, managing salons. I've done it all, right? Like so far. And I was really good at it. And I was like, you know what? Now's the time for me to bow out. And my team in Dayton were so supportive because I was already gone. Right. Okay. And we all know a missing salon owner means what? Your business is failing because you're missing in action. And I didn't want them to lose that momentum. Right. So I, you know, let them know they were so supportive. And I made the transition to LA first because I knew I needed to get here. And I was still traveling, all of that. I'm now with Oligo and I get to LA. And then right before COVID, Vince got here full time because he had a job with the city.
Wow.
Of Dayton. So, or a nonprofit that represented the city at Dayton. So he was transitioning out of that. And we still had our house. So we were like trying to figure out, there were still negotiations on our salon. So as I was Don't Stop getting it and building a credibility, my credibility here in LA, he was finishing everything in Dayton. So right before COVID happened, we made the full transition together. But being military spouses, right? You kind of understand that there's a give and take. Right? You have to adapt and evolve together. Like sometimes you have to go do something first and then they follow. Right? So then now we're full-time in LA. I'm in my own studio here in Beverly Hills at Salon Republic. Hi, family. Hey, love you. They're so supportive of me. I literally am like, whenever I made the decision to come here, Eric and the whole squad was like, wait, what? And I'm like, yeah, I want to go to Salon Republic. They're like, yeah, come on. Awesome. And I'm like, wow. So now I'm
hold on. We're going to fanboy for a minute. So you're in Hollywood?
Okay. I'm in Beverly Hills.
Oh, so where's Philip? Philip's in Hollywood, right?
Philip is here at Beverly Hills.
Where is Philip Wolf, the same Philip?
Yeah, I just saw him the other day in the bathroom.
What's it with you and bathroom?
Like how we met.
Exactly. Hey, and is Guy Tang there?
I don't know. I really don't know. I can find out.
It doesn't matter. I was just gonna like, you know, fan out a little bit. Well, when you see Philip and Danny, you know, send our love because
we
love those guys. I was just talking to Danny yesterday, talking about the same kind of thing, like just how much we miss seeing everybody on the road and stuff.
Yes, and she just messaged me the other day, and she's like, "We're neighbors." Right. You know what I mean? So I'm like,
"Where you live, or neighbor?"
No, at the salon. Oh. And I'm like, "Oh, because listen, I am so dialed into my life." Like,
right.
I'm dialed into my business. I'm dialed into my guests. Like, I'm dialed into my assistant, James. I want to make sure that I give him everything I know so he can, you know, thrive and give it to the next generation of stylists and all of that. So now I'm here. I'm Don't Stop getting it. Like always, I'm a rebel with the beauty cause. Listen, Beauty Launchpad in 2013, because I was blowing them up, and Amy.
Yeah, Amy Dodd. Yep.
Yes, baby. I love her. Shout out. I remember I was like questioning her about like one of these hair shows. I was like, do you even know? Like on tour. And I was like, y'all need to pay attention to me. I have something to say. Like, and then they put me in their magazine. They were like, Jay Ladner, the rebel with a beauty cause, because he would go to any lengths to get noticed. And I think like once you understand loneliness and you're okay with it, you'll stop at nothing. You know, pain and fear and all of that. Like, yeah, you won't stop until you get that story out. Right.
Well, here's a story for you, Jay. You don't know this, but Gordon Miller from Harebrained. I was having a conversation with Gordon, and he mentioned just how amazing you are, and how, like, he's like, man, I remember seeing Jay years ago, and now, like, Jay is just blown up, and he is so incredibly proud of you and what you bring to the industry that you know, it was really, really cool. And I didn't tell you that because I wanted to make sure that you heard that on our podcast, and it was just a very cool kind of thing. And
plus, you're infectious, bro.
Yeah, that's it. You know, actually, you know, we made it when Gordon and I were talking about that, we may have been at ICE. We may have been at ICE. So, you know,
I love Gordon so much. I would like track him down at hair shows, because I didn't really realize, like, early in my career, like, what magic he is. Like, I just knew from his energy, and I knew from, like, some research, but I would always track him down. Yeah. And I remember I was seeing him at one of the shows I was doing, and he was like, Jay Ladner, look at you. Right. And I'm like, thank you so much for being there. You know what I mean? Yeah. And, like, hearing me, like, when I wanted to say something. And I think that's what I want everyone to get out of from listening to this, is that if you want to do it, put yourself in the room only expecting knowledge and growth, only expecting to build credibility, and do it over and over again until you become good at it, right? And then you, like, ask for help when you need help, and, like, you do the things that no one else in the room wants to do, and you'll all of a sudden be standing on a stage where people are screaming for you. Because that is literally what happened to me, is I was just putting myself there. I mean, I was doing it, and then all of a sudden people know my name, and I'm still that 16-year-old boy in my spirit fighting his way through life. So sometimes I'm learning to embrace it now, but it's been a wild ride, because I still think of myself as Joshua getting through life, and I'm still figuring it out every single day.
On that note, that's words of wisdom from Mr. Jay Ladner.
You're welcome.
So, Jay, we're gonna end it with that advice, because that's so spot on, and that's so real and raw, and you know what I mean. What a great way to kind of close it down with that advice, right? So, how can our listeners find you, follow you, listen to you, love on you? Can you throw that out there for us?
Yes. So, if you don't follow me on Instagram, you can follow me at It's Mr. Jay Ladner. You can go to jayladner.com. And I am really focusing on my online education. Thanks, Quarantina. You helped out on that. But I do have my Jay Ladner Essentials class up there if you want to get into 9 placement and patterns that will elevate you behind the chair. And I do have my book, Placement Patterns and Potions by Jay Ladner, on there. You can slide into my DM. You can email me. You can call me. My cell phone number is on my Instagram. I always say this to people, but no one hits me up. So this is your opportunity to slide up into it. And yeah, you can listen to me every Friday with my podcast wifey and best friend, Nina Tolio, No Stylist Left Behind. And we are streaming on iTunes, Apple, and Anchor.
Love it. Well, first off, you're wrong about one thing in that whole statement, that Nina is my best friend. And on that note, Mr. Jay Ladner, thank you very, very much for joining us on your day off.
Thank you.
Please do meet you. Hey, so there it is. Hey, this is a message that we've been trying to bring, I don't know, for the last couple of months, actually since we started the podcast. Hey, so if you like the podcast or if you find that it's useful, please, please, please leave us a review, a 5-star review on iTunes. Leave us a rating and a review.
But if you don't like it, forget about it.
Yeah, totally forget about this message. We also want to thank Sarah and Blaine from Pretty Gritty. Sarah and Blaine, they are a band out of Portland, Oregon, and we just want to thank them very much for allowing us to use their song, Pleased to Meet You, on our podcast. That's cool. I think you can find their music on iTunes.
Peace and hair grease.